don't know about you, but I haven't heard this song in a month. We're finally back. And have really missed talking to you. Believe me. And now that we have the voice to do so, let's get back to it. Finally, we're back with another edition of Central Region Now, the exclusive podcast of the RVA Sports Network. It has been way, way too long, fans, and thank you so much for your patience. My deepest apologies for not being able to bring you the podcast the last few weeks. Rob with them along with you here, and if you'll notice, it's still not 100%. We're still dealing with some coughing issues. We're still dealing with the occasional Better Pop the Halls cough drop. The voice is at about 85%. And it's just been that sort of thing. And this happens to me once in a blue moon. A couple of years ago, got a case of bronchitis, lost the voice for a while. 10 years ago, in 2007, back when I was still working in radio here in the Richmond area, lost my voice due to illness and lost it so badly that I had to be referred to my ENT, which is ear, nose, throat specialist, and he shut me down for like 5 weeks. I couldn't talk, and I mean could not talk for like 35 days. It was crazy because, you know, here I am in a very busy workplace environment. I'm having to interact with 20, 25, 30 people a day, and it all has to be done either by email or by they ask me a question and I shake my head yes or no. That's all I could do. So thankfully, it didn't get that bad, although I got to tell you, about 2 weeks into it, around Valentine's Day, I was getting really concerned that 2007 was rearing its ugly head. But it's slowly getting better, and it's good to be back with you, even though we're not fully at 100%. We've got so much to talk about. It would be impossible, and the podcast would last 2 hours if I tried to talk about everything that we have gone through and seen and experienced and enjoyed over the month of February, especially through high school basketball postseason. Let me touch on a couple of quick things. We've seen some amazing individual performances. We've seen some fantastic team performances. We've seen some disappointments, and excuse me, we've seen some things that we expected to see. Once all of that is said and done, what do we have left here in Championship Week when action gets going on Thursday at the Siegel Center? We have four teams in the RVA still alive, four state championships. Three of them were frankly expected to be in the position that they're in. And we'll talk about them in a moment. The first one I want to talk about, though, out of 2A, is Amelia. Amelia County will be playing for a 2A State Boys Championship, 8:30 tip on Thursday night at the Siegel Center. RVA Sports Network plans to be there with live tweet coverage as Amelia goes for the state title against Robert E. Lee of Stanton, a team that they played over the holidays, and they lost. So there was head-to-head competition between them that was back on December the 29th. It was in Stanton, and the final score was 77-55. So, you know, what can you learn or glean from that particular game? Well, number one, Amelia has improved since then. Now, admittedly, I don't know a heck of a lot about Amelia, but I do know that they have not lost since the 23rd of January, when they faced Manchester, a team that had a surprising season and ended up winning the regular season in Conference 3. They've been on a roll since then, wrapping up the regular season with wins, and then they're undefeated at this point in postseason play. So they try to make it the sweep with the biggest game of the year, and that's tomorrow night as we record this, or Thursday night, at Siegel, scheduled to be an 8:30 tip-off. So that's game one. Friday, our focus and attention shifts to possible history. Last year at the Siegel Center, we were there live when the Cosby girls basketball team won their third consecutive state championship, which means they were the third team in VHSL history to win three in a row. On Friday night, the Monacan Chiefs look to become the fourth. Now, that's in the long history of the VHSL. It's possible that we could have teams win the three-peat in back-to-back years. That's pretty impressive if you think about it. Cosby falling short early on in 6A South. They had the bad draw. They had Colonial Forge. And I really thought that if there was any team that was going to come out of 6A South and maybe end Cosby's three-year reign, it could be Colonial Forge, and it ended up being that way. Colonial Forge will be at the Siegel Center on Saturday evening. But the Monacan Chiefs, still alive. They've had a couple of games where they've not blown everybody out. They've had a couple of games where things got tight at times, and frankly, I think that's a good thing. I don't think cruising through every game all the way to the championship game is necessarily the best thing to happen to you. A little adversity is not a bad thing to keep you grounded, to keep you mindful, and for this senior-laden team, just to remember that you've got to execute, you've got to play the game, and you've got to play it well in order to run the table and make the history that you want to make. So for Jaden Morris and Alex Parson and Megan Walker and the rest of the Monacan Chiefs, history comes down to Friday night, 6:30 tip-off against Kings Fork. Kings Fork, they defeated them for the region championship back on the 24th of February. So they've already played once this year. Kings Fork, Monacan, and Kings Fork could be the team that gives them the best possible opponent in this particular final round. But you know the Chiefs will be dialed in because this will be the end of an era no matter what happens on Friday night. Megan Walker will head to Connecticut, Jaden Morris on her way to Ryder, Alex Parson heads to the University of Virginia, and those are just the first three off the top of my head. This is an historic senior class at Monacan, arguably one of the best senior classes in the history of girls basketball, not only in the Richmond area, but possibly in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So try not to do a whole lot of hyperbole because, frankly, don't want to make the girls have any more pressure than they already feel, because you know they're gonna feel a weight when they hit that floor and start warm-ups at about 5:30, 6 o'clock on Friday night. Because the place will be jammed. Chief Nation will be there. There's no doubt about it. Kings Fork is going to come in confident going, hey, we've got nothing to lose. Nobody thinks we're going to win this game, so we're going to go out and play lights out basketball. And Monacan's going to get the Kings Fork's best shot. What Monacan hopes is that they have a repeat of what happened last year. They got on a huge run. Jaden Morris scored 30 points in the first half, and the game essentially in that championship with William Fleming a year ago was over. At halftime. They had a much closer game 2 years ago when it was Midlothian as their opponent when they played seemingly 22 times in that memorable 2015 season. So Monacan, Kings Fork, Friday night, 6:30, and we'll be there. Now our coverage on Twitter with Amelia County will be on the RVA Sportsnet. That's the RVA Sportsnet coming up Thursday night. And, of course, our Monacan coverage on Friday night live on Seafield Sports, that's Chesterfield Sports, our hyper-local Twitter feed with exclusive coverage of sports in Chesterfield County. Saturday, in case you haven't heard, and you should have by now, this announcement was made on Tuesday morning. We had it all over Twitter, all over RVASportsNetwork.com. And let me quickly, while I have a second, have not been able to publicly say thank you so much for your unbelievable response to our Tournament Central weekly updates on our website, RVASportsNetwork.com. Thousands of you have come and gotten your scores, your schedules, your brackets, the updates, etc. At Conference Tournament Central, then Region Tournament Central, then State Tournament Central, and right now at the top of RVASportsNetwork.com, it's Championship Tournament Central. It has ticket information, parking information, all the information about the four games involving our area teams at Siegel Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. So again, thank you. Thank you. Cannot thank you enough for counting on us for your postseason basketball information. We want to create a place where all you have to do is go to one place. You don't have to file through several pages of a website, or you don't have to file through, you know, a whole bunch of stuff that really doesn't matter at this point. We want you to see what's happened and what's to come. and we want to update it once a week through the tournament season so that you can get the information that you need for this week. And so that's why Championship Tournament Central, very easily and cleanly done, is available right now at the top of RVASportsNetwork.com. And if you're looking for championship games that don't involve RVA schools, they're not listed because, well, frankly, we don't care about them. But if there's nobody from the RVA, I wish all the kids best of luck and you know, congratulations if they win state titles. But our focus is on four. And Amelia's won, Monacan's won. And now let's talk about the two on Saturday. Games have been moved up a couple of hours because even though the chances are getting slimmer and slimmer, VHSL officials were getting concerned about travel situations later on Saturday night for the 6A schools because the last tournament game, 6A boys, was scheduled, I think, to start at 8:30. And so if you play the game, you do the post-game, the press conferences and stuff, and by the time you get on the bus, some of these teams have a couple hours to drive, and it could be 11 o'clock at night. And on Monday night, Tuesday morning, it was looking like we were going to get a snowstorm. And if we got a snowstorm, it could be significant. And if it started, it would start on Saturday night. So the last thing we want to see happen is, you know, one of our teams stuck on a yellow bus on an interstate on a very cold, snowy night. Want to be safe. So kudos to the VHSL for making that decision. It does make the afternoon session now a morning/afternoon session. You just got to get up a little earlier on a Saturday. That's all. First game Saturday at 11 a.m. Highland Springs, Princess Anne, 5A state championship, round three. Princess Anne will be going for their fourth consecutive state championship. In 2014, they won over Highland Springs. I'll go to my grave remembering the courageous effort of Bree Justice, the guard for Highland Springs, who essentially played that game on one leg and did everything she possibly could to help the Springers get that state championship that they still are looking for. The next year, it was Princess Anne defeating Taja Cole and L.C. Bird in the championship. Last year, it was Princess Anne Highland Springs round two, and despite a monster performance from Taya Bolden, who is now at Campbell University, it was Princess Anne taking the title again. So Highland Springs has a chance to finally slay the dragon, as it were. I've seen Princess Anne on a couple of occasions, I believe, this year. I don't think they are as powerful as they have been in the last 3 years. Doesn't mean they're not good. I don't think you're going to see a Princess Anne team try to run up and down the floor and 94 feet of pressure, etc. Highland Springs has dialed back on the pressure and that type of game. Both teams are playing a little bit closer to the vest in terms of their style. But I got to tell you this, for those of you who were at the 5A South Region Championship game for the girls, when Highland Springs led at one point 38-19 and Salem ended up on a game-ending 32-10 run. Now, that game really turned when Cam Gatling fouled out with about five and change to go. And Salem at that point was, I think, still down double digits, maybe nine. And Highland Springs just had no way to get their offense rolling because a lot of their offense runs through the bigs, especially Cam down low. And it opened things up for Salem and an opportunity, and the momentum at Hermitage High School that night, you talk about it, it wasn't a momentum swing, it was a momentum revolution. And it went to Salem, and it stayed with Salem, and they ended up winning 51-48. Well, Princess Anne, in the state semifinals, got a rematch, their, what, fifth game against Salem this year, and they won, and Salem was held to 29 points. And to me, that's one of the maybe three or four most impressive statistics of the entire postseason from the start of the conference tournaments 3 weeks ago to tonight, that Salem would only score 29 points in a state semifinal game. So that tells me Princess Anne can play the defense when they're playing well. And Highland Springs, same thing, but they're going to have to be able to get open looks from the outside between Jen Coleman and CeCe Crudup. I think a big key to that game on Saturday morning is going to be AZ Baycott. If she can really become a solid offensive number two option in this particular game. Now, she's done a great job this season. I'm not talking about becoming one because she's never been one. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, can she do it on the big stage? Because you remember last year, that was Taya Bolden's stage. And, you know, they were looking at Cam Gatling and Coleman on the outside, Crudup on the inside, and Bolden went berserk. It's just that there was nobody else able to help or assist Taya. This is going to be the kind of game where, you know, somebody's going to score 20, somebody needs to score 16, somebody needs to score 11, somebody needs to have double-digit rebounds, that sort of thing. And for one thing, above all else, is Highland Springs has to stay out of foul trouble. If they get into foul trouble, that's going to be very difficult to overcome. So it's Princess Anne, Highland Springs, round three, and maybe the Springers can finally slay the dragon and get that elusive first state championship before we bid farewell to three of the best Highland Springs players in school history, in Coleman and Gatling and Crudup, as they all head off to their collegiate institutions in the fall. That's an 11 a.m. tip at the Siegel Center. We'll have tip to trophy coverage on Henrico Sports on Twitter. That's on Henrico Sports. And, of course, all weekend long, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be simul-tweeting. We'll be giving you constant updates on the RVA Sportsnet so that if you follow the RVA Sportsnet, we'll constantly be retweeting championship game action from our Twitter network. You know, with Monikin on the floor, Chesterfield Sports will be your Twitter source. But we'll be retweeting Chesterfield Sports on the RVA Sportsnet. So if you follow us at the RVA Sportsnet, you're not going to miss a thing. We'll have our complete coverage there as well, thanks to our Twitter network. That brings us to the final game, and that's now a Saturday 1 p.m. tip-off for the 5A State Boys Championship, round three between L. Seabird and Bethel. They played over the Christmas break down at the Hampton Coliseum. Bird got the win in a defensive game. They played again in the 5A South Region Championship a couple of Saturdays ago at Hermitage. We were there live for that game on Chesterfield Sports on Twitter. And it was a very great performance, especially second half, as the Skyhawks were able to build a lead and keep it that way with their win over Bethel. So is it hard to beat the same team three times and say, oh, yeah, very hard. That's going to be the challenge for L.C. Bird. They have so many weapons, and I have felt since November that they could win the 5A state championship because they have so many options. They have not had a night yet where everybody went cold. That's one of the things about teams that go into the NCAA tournament, and they're predominantly outside shooting teams. They don't have a lot of inside offense. They're counting on three-point shooting, whatnot. And you got to play six games to win that championship. And the chances of you having a cold shooting night as a team in a six-game stretch, chances are better than average that one night it's just not going to be there. And so what I'm hoping is this is not the afternoon where Haskett and Wiley and Dillard and Henry grow, you know, go cold, you know, down in the, you know, around the perimeter is what I'm trying to say. What I've been impressed with in this run with L.C. Bird is that they haven't had to rely on that for 32 minutes because Tyreek Williams has become more of an offensive force down low. Cam Henry can go down low and mix it up. Frankly, Wiley and Haskett really don't mind going down there if necessary. And then you put in Giles Webster, and he gives you quality minutes, especially defensively and rebounding. And then whatever point production he gives you is gravy. Jay Robinson has been working well on the perimeter, which is a good thing because it gives Coach Mads a chance to do from a rotational standpoint. You know, get Wiley and Haskett and Dillard, give them a little bit of a time off, you know, especially in like the first half to keep them fresh down the stretch. Because what Bird also would like to do is wear Bethel down and get them into a situation to where, you know, you're in the fourth quarter and you're up eight. Bethel tries to mount a run. You know, Bird hits back-to-back threes, and suddenly it's 12. And if you do that a couple of times in the fourth quarter and it gets to be 3-4 minutes to play, you can break the back of your opponent. So is Bird favored to win? I would say so because they've beaten Bethel twice already. But that's dangerous because you know Bethel is going to do exactly what Kings Fork's going to do when they walk in to face Monikin Friday night in the 4A girls final. You know, Bethel's fans expect Bethel to win. Few other people do because of what's happened this season. That may be a very dangerous position to be in. And so Bethel, again, can go out and just play lights out and let it all hang out, because what have they got to lose? You know, they're not expected to win because of the head-to-head matchups against LC Bird. And when you get a good team, a very good team, you got to be a great team in order to get to the championship. You get a great team in a mindset like that, and if you're not on your game, suddenly the game can get away from you. So Bethel LC Bird's a 1 o'clock tip Saturday at Siegel, and it is on Chesterfield Sports on Twitter with simul tweet coverage on the RVA Sportsnet. Now, quickly, if you're coming to Siegel this weekend, here's how it works. Tickets are $10 a piece. If you come with children ages 6 and younger, they are admitted free with a paying adult. Okay, so if you got youngsters coming, 6 and under, they can get in for free. Parking is available if you haven't been to Siegel in a while, or if you've never been down there before, and a few of you may not have been. There's two parking decks, but the main deck is across Broad Street, diagonally across from the corner of the Siegel Center where the big VCU tower is located. So you park in the deck, you walk across the street, and you're there. And the entrance is at where that tower is as well, at Broad and Marshall, I believe that is. They will open up the Siegel Center 1 hour prior to session times. So, Amelia fans, you can start coming in as early as 5:30 Thursday night, because there, of course, is a game before you, the girls' championship in 2A. Friday night for Monacan, doors will open at 5:30. Action starts at 6:30. And then for the session for 5A on Saturday morning, gates will open at 10. First game at 11, Highland Springs, and then LC Bird, 1 o'clock or thereabouts, right afterwards. If you cannot make it to the Siegel Center, yes, we will give you Twitter coverage. By VHSL regulation, we are not allowed to either Periscope or Facebook Live any of the state championships. That's because the Virginia High School League has exclusive rights to live video coverage of the event. Now, in past years, you know that we've done a radio broadcasting from the state championship. Number one reason, because of the voice issue and not being able to be 100% sure that I would be able to broadcast this weekend, and still, I'm a little shaky, and I don't think I could make it through four games. So we have opted not to provide the radio coverage this year. We really wanted to, but we're not, unfortunately. It's the way life goes sometimes. We'll obviously keep you covered on Twitter. But if you want to watch the games, the link to watch it through the NFHS Network and the VHSL is available at Championship Tournament Central at RVASportsNetwork.com. Will it cost you money to watch? Yes, it will. But it's also going to cost you money if you come down to Siegel. You got to pay for parking. You got to pay for tickets. So if you can't make it physically, you can still watch the game on your laptop or your mobile device, and it would be actually cheaper than coming down to the Siegel Center, most likely. So, you know, a tip of the hat for affordability from the Virginia High School League in that situation. I believe it's $9.95 to watch, and I also believe that it's good for a championship session. Now, that doesn't really matter for us on Thursday night and Friday night, but I think you might be able to watch both Highland Springs and LC Bird for one price. Don't hold me to that. May be the case, may not be the case. But if you want to watch one of the championship games, we've got the link at RVASportsNetwork.com. And again, you know, $10, it's cheaper than parking in a ticket. So that's a good option for you as well. And of course, keep it with us on Twitter. Across our Twitter network, we'll have you covered live from Siegel Thursday night, Friday evening, and Saturday morning and early afternoon. All right. Basketball put aside, our final four games this weekend, and then we put a wrap on the 2016-17 season. We are ready to rock and roll in spring sports. They begin on Monday, weather permitting. Lots of lacrosse on the schedule on Monday, so the good news is if we don't get the snow Saturday night, Sunday, we have school on Monday. It may be chilly, but if it's not a bad weather situation, we'll play lacrosse, even if it's raining a little bit or even if it's cold. So our plan is to start the spring sports season at Atlee High School on Monday night as 5A state runner-up Atlee takes on 6A state runner-up James River in boys lacrosse action. That will be our first live tweet coverage of spring sports 2017, and that will be Monday night on both Chesterfield Sports for James River fans and Hanover Sports for Raider Nation. Then the following night, we'll be back at Atlee as the two-time defending 5A state softball champion Atlee Raiders open defense of their title against the Cavaliers of Clover Hill, who lost some good players to graduation, one particular. I don't know if you've been following ODAC softball so far this season, but there are some tremendous storylines going on right now. Hannah Hall, last year's big pitcher for Clover Hill, now a freshman at Virginia Wesleyan. She is 7-0 on the season. Virginia Wesleyan's unbeaten. They're in the top 25. Their shortstop, Kirsten Richardson, who was a Glen Allen graduate, listen to these numbers. In four games last weekend, Richardson did this. She went 15 for 26. She scored 12 runs, and she stole 14 bases in four games. So, obviously, she was the ODAC player of the week. Now, go up to Ashland. Randolph-Macon has started undefeated. They are now 10-0 on the year. They entered the top 25 nationally on Wednesday at number 17. And their stud pitcher, sophomore Candace Whitmore from Patrick Henry, who is now 5-0 on the year with two saves. Freshman from Kellam High School down near the beach, Cameron Thompson, 5-0 on the season. So obviously we've got our calendar marked for April 5th. It's a Wednesday afternoon, and that is when Virginia Wesleyan comes to Randolph-Macon, and that doubleheader is going to be absolutely fantastic. But even though Clover Hill lost some players to graduation from a very good team last year, they're going to be competitive again in Conference 3 and 6A South. Conference 3 is going to be just a monster again this year. You got Cosby. You got Manchester. Was watching them Monday night in scrimmage play with Atlee. They're looking good again. You've got Clover Hill. You've got James River. You've got Cosby. And don't know about Franklin County. So put all that together, and frankly, Thomas Dale may surprise some people this year. So Conference 3 softball is going to be really, really fun to watch. And our coverage of it begins Tuesday night, Clover Hill at Atlee softball. We hope to return with our Game of the week of March 20th. And we will have Game of the Week coverage of baseball, softball, soccer, and lacrosse all the way to the end of the regular season in the middle of the month of May. We're going to be all over the place this spring, bringing you the most comprehensive coverage of all spring sports here from the RBA Sports Network. So it begins on Monday, weather permitting. Polls, if you're wondering about them, our preseason, well, we'll be 1 week into the season. Our first top 10 polls for baseball and softball will debut 1 week from Sunday, and that would be the 19th of March. They'll, of course, be on rbasportsnetwork.com, and, of course, we'll have Twitter alerts, and we'll talk about them here on the podcast each week. That's top 10 polls in baseball and softball. The return of our Super 6 polls in soccer and lacrosse will be 2 weeks after that, and that is on April 2nd. That's the Sunday before the final week before we go into spring break. So again, Super 6 polls for soccer and lacrosse, both boys and girls, will debut April 2nd. And the top 10 polls for baseball and softball debut a week from Sunday the 19th. Okay? Speaking of debuts, and we were going to do it this coming week, but I've pushed it back one more week. Excuse me, as you can tell, I'm going to give my voice one final week, hopefully to get to 100%. But we've been teasing about this for quite some time on Twitter, about a brand new way to start your day. And I'm very happy to finally unveil what we will be doing here live on the RBA Sports Network every day. Starting March 20th, every morning when you wake up, every morning, Monday through Sunday, you will have the opportunity to listen live to a new exclusive mini-podcast from the RVA Sports Network. We call it AMRVA. And the purpose of AMRVA is to reach everybody who are sports fans in the Richmond area who frankly just don't have time to sit down with a cup of coffee and the morning paper. They don't turn on the television in the morning because the local stations really don't talk sports on their morning shows. You're on a bus, maybe, and so therefore you're not listening to a radio, so you're not listening to, you know, sports talk radio in the morning. But you need to find a way to find out what happened last night and what's going on today. We are going to do that in a mini podcast, which we project will be every day 3 minutes or less. So every morning, we'll have links on Twitter. Every morning, they'll be posted on our websites. And every morning, you'll be able to download them from our podcast home. And you can stream them, and you can listen to them. So you can pop it on your tablet or your mobile device and listen to it in the car on the way to work. You can pop it up on your tablet or mobile device and listen to it on the bus on the way to school. You can listen to it while you're in the shower. You can listen to it while you're eating breakfast or you're grabbing breakfast. Whatever your morning routine is, you want to know the headlines from last night. You want to know what to expect today. We'll have it all for you in a mini podcast every morning called AMRVA, and it will premiere Monday morning, March 20th. And we'll be with you every single morning. And that will include, over the summer, it's going to be a 12-month-a-year task. Because, yes, we'll talk a lot about high school sports, because, yes, that's our bread and butter here at the RVA Sports Network. But we also cover other sports here in the Richmond area. So we'll keep you posted on what's happening, be it VCU, be it the University of Richmond, be it any of the other colleges in the area. Be it the Flying Squirrels or the Kickers or the new Rough Riders indoor pro football team. Whatever the case may be, if it's a big event going on in the world of sports, we'll let you know. We'll also chime in with a little look at what the weather might be in the day ahead. And if there's anything from a national standpoint in sports that may have happened overnight that you might have missed and you need to know about when you start your day. AMRVA, the mini podcast to start your day, begins Monday, March 20th, exclusively from the RVA Sports Network, as we continue to try to find new, more, better, inventive ways, innovative ways to give you the sports coverage that you need. And we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll have it ready for you first thing every morning when your alarm gets you going, whenever that may be. So again, to review, before we wrap up this edition of Central Region Now, because I don't think my voice can go much further, our live coverage from the championships at the Siegel Center this weekend. We're live on Thursday night with Amelia County versus Robert E. Lee Stanton. That's an 8:30 tip in the 2A Boys Championship, live on Twitter at the RVA Sportsnet. Friday night, 6:30, Monacan goes for the three-peat. We are live on Twitter on Chesterfield Sports, and we will simul-tweet coverage on the RVA Sportsnet. Saturday morning, bright and early, we'll get to the Siegel Center so that we are ready to go at 11 a.m. when they tip Highland Springs Princess Anne 5A State Girls Final. That'll be on Henrico Sports on Twitter, simul-tweeted on the RVA Sportsnet. And then to wrap things up, LC Bird goes for that elusive state championship against Bethel at 1 o'clock Saturday on Chesterfield Sports on Twitter, and simul-tweeted on the RVA Sports Network. Then we turn our attention to spring sports. That begins on Monday. We've mentioned that our first two nights will be at Atlee High School, as on Monday night, state lacrosse runners-up collide, 6A runner-up James River, 5A runner-up Atlee in their opening match of the 2017 season in boys lacrosse. Should be a great one. Plus, those two teams have kind of developed a regular season rivalry over the last few years, too. Back to Atlee on Tuesday night when the two-time defending 5A state softball champions open their season in what should be a good test against Clover Hill. We'll have coverage on Monday night and Tuesday night both on Chesterfield Sports for Rapids and Cavalier fans and on Hanover Sports for Atlee Raider fans. We're going to get all over the area on the first week. We've already mapped out our first several weeks of coverage right now, subject to change. And hopefully here, either the end of this week or the first of next week, we will start giving you our projected broadcast schedule for our game of the week for baseball, softball, soccer, and lacrosse. We expect to be back live on the air the week of March 20th. Top 10 polls for baseball and softball debut next Sunday on the 19th on the next edition of Central Region Now. And our Super 6 polls in lacrosse and soccer will be 2 weeks after that. They'll start on Sunday night, April the 2nd. So we got a lot going on here at the RVA Sports Network. There's nothing unusual about that. Thank you again to all of you for your patience. Again, I deeply apologize that we've not been able to have the podcast the last few weeks. It's really, really been frustrating not to be able to talk to you about the rounds of the tournaments in basketball, the conference level, the region level, as time has gone on. There's been so many great performances and so much to talk about. I think of, you know, J.R. Tucker's girls team going unbeaten in the regular season. First time in school history, not just for girls basketball, for the entire school. Never in the history of J.R. Tucker had a team finish its regular season unbeaten until last month. That is an amazing accomplishment for them. And then they go, and they win two games and win the Conference 11 title. They get to retire that trophy, and they fought very, very hard in that regional quarterfinal before losing their first and only game of the year to L.C. Byrd, who advanced along with Highland Springs out of the regional and into the state tournament. I think about my trip last week down to Hampton, where we were live for the quarterfinal between Highland Springs and Atlee. We watched a great performance by Highland Springs. We watched Atlee get off to a very slow start, and of course you can't do that against Highland Springs. We saw an incredible career, the one of Elise Armentrout, come to an end. Her career stats are just crazy. Not only her career stats, but this is what she did this year. Elise Armentrout, 521 points, 428 rebounds, and 244 blocks. She was either four or six blocks shy, I think, maybe a few more than that, but she was this close to averaging a triple-double for the year. She was well above it in points and rebounds, and she averaged over nine blocks per game. Just a phenomenal season and a great career that we have enjoyed following and watching. I want to give a kudo quickly to Hermitage Boys Basketball. What a turnaround in that program under Rob Rice the last 2 years. And one of the best performances I've seen all season was the first half of the Conference 11 championship game when they held Mills Godwin to 13 points. It was a tremendous defensive work and effort in those 16 minutes. Hermitage held off Godwin, won the Conference 11 championship. And hey, tip of the hat to Mills Godwin. Nobody saw them coming this year. And what a job Coach Hunter Thomas, the coach of the year in Conference 11, did with that team, beating Hermitage in the regular season early, beating Henrico in the regular season, beating Henrico in the semis to get the region bid and make the conference championship. You know, that was amazing. But I want to save my last amazing for this. And that was the night of the Conference 11 boys semifinal, when Deep Run played Hermitage. And for those of you who do not remember the circumstances involving that night, we lost a great, great friend here at the RVA Sports Network very suddenly and very jarringly on the 12th of February when our Deep Run reporter and our friend, Art Washburn, collapsed while taking a Sunday afternoon walk and died of a heart attack at the age of 50. Art was an integral part of Deep Run Athletics. On Friday nights in the fall, he was slinging burgers and hot dogs in the concession stand. In the spring, he was your public address announcer for soccer. In basketball season, he was always there. And if he was at a Deep Run school event, I was getting tweets from him. And the last tweet I got from him was on that Saturday, the 11th of February, when Deep Run beat Glen Allen to make it to the semis. And he told me, he said, "I got a business trip next week. I got to try to rearrangement. I want to be here on Wednesday to watch Zach, his son, a senior, and the Wildcats." And sadly, he only made it to Sunday. And we lost him at the age of 50. And Zach Washburn played that night in front of hundreds of fans, all of us, myself included, wearing white We Love Art t-shirts. His family was there to support him. The school communities of Glen Allen, Hermitage, Henrico all joined in with Deep Run to share in their loss, to share in their grief, but to share into the celebration of Art. And what a night that was. Zach put on a fantastic effort, and even though Deep Run fell short, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that no father's ever been prouder of a son and than Art Washburn was of Zach that night. And how Zach did that, I will never know. But my hat's off to him, and we're going to miss you, Art. We're going to miss you so much. It's I can't even begin to describe. And my thanks to him, and that gives me an opportunity as we close to thank each person, whether you are a parent, a coach, a trainer, a manager, a JV coach who stays for varsity, a PA announcer. If you are one that are helping us by sending us score updates and final scores and statistics from games, we've said it before in a hashtag and we mean it. It is not a slogan. You are the network. People ask me all the time, how do you do it? And I say, it's not me. There is an army of people who just come out of the woodwork and are willing to help relay the information and allow us to be the conduit for all of that information. And we thank each and every one of you. We don't take you for granted. We love you from the bottom of our heart. And we thank you for being such an important part of the RVA Sports Network. And with that, we'll draw this edition of Central Region Now to a close. Thank you so much for being with us. We don't anticipate not doing any podcasts for a while. We should be back now on a regular weekly schedule. We'll be back a week from Sunday. Our next podcast will be on the 19th, and it'll have the debut polls, top 10 for baseball and softball. Plus, we'll put a wrap on the basketball season. Central Region Now, an exclusive podcast presentation of the RVA Sports Network, solely intended for the private, non-commercial use of our audience. Any other use or rebroadcast without the express written consent of HCS Media LLC is prohibited. Join us at the Siegel Center this weekend. If you can't, again, the link to watch the video of the games available at RVASportsNetwork.com. Rob Witham saying thanks so much for being with us, and we'll talk to you again next week on the podcast. And the game of the week, back the week of March 20th. Thanks, everybody.